الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد Today, inshallah, we are supposed to discuss the Sufiya today as one of those deviant groups that came up as a result of the Furqa division that came up in the Ummah. We are always mentioning the Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, the Murji'a, and all these, the Shi'a, and their misguidance away from the path of Sunnah. But we had not discussed the Sufiya. That was why we thought, inshallah, we'll look at Sufiya in the old and in the present. And one of the most popular Sufi groups that people have not been aware of is Sufiya. Jama'at al-Tabligh. But some matters have come up regularly, repeatedly, in the last 2 weeks. I remember we were discussing about 2-3 weeks ago, and one of the brothers, I mentioned the hadith of Shu'batul Iman, that al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. And one of the brothers said, Sittun. He said, no, Sittun is not authentic. So he's surprised. We are all surprised. Because bid'un wa Sittun occurs in Sahih Bukhari. So why do we say it's not authentic? We'd like to discuss this matter, inshallah, today. And read to us what the scholars have said about the issue of bid'un wa Sittun or bid'un wa Sittun. Our bid'un wa sab'un. What has been reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imam Muslim alayhi rahmatullah reported bid'un wa sab'un. Imam Bukhari in Sahih Bukhari reported bid'un wa sittun. That is, Iman has 70 aspects. That is bid'un wa sab'un. In Sahih Bukhari, bid'un wa sittun. That Iman has 60 aspects. And they are all being ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad. And the problem, the matter is more problematic because it has only one, this kind of a hadith is referred to as Gharib al-Mutlaq. Gharib al-Mutlaq is a hadith that it has a single beginning. No two companions reported this hadith. Nobody reported it from amongst the companions except Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Nobody reported it from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Except Abu Salih, Zakwan, Az-Zayyat. He's the only one who reported it from Abu Huraira. And from him, nobody reported from him except Abdullah ibn Amr. Except Abdullah ibn Dinar. So Abdullah ibn Dinar reported from Zakwan, Az-Zayyat, Abu Salih, and he reported from Abu Huraira. So how then could it have been that it is 60 and then it is 70 when the aflu is the same? There is certainly ittirab here. So this is the first issue, inshallah, I would like to raise. More especially, some of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi have said that the report of 60 is weak. While some say no, it is the report of 70 that is weak. So what is really the case? What is riwayatul rajiha wa riwayatul marjuha? Which report is most preponderant and which one is less preponderant of the two reports? So more especially these reports occur in Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The second issue we like to talk about inshallah today is the issue of intikhab, voting. When it was mentioned last week, we found some discomfort in the eyes of some of us, as if it had never been said that voting is not from the issues of the Sharia. So today inshallah, I would like to mention about several reasons. One of the scholars mentioned 17 reasons. We like to mention only 7 from these 17 why voting is not from the Sharia, and also give some little explanations regarding the matters that are connected to voting inshallah. The third issue that had come up between the last class and today and that's been repeatedly discussed is the issue of marrying a minor in the Sharia. Is it permissible that someone marries a little young girl that has not matured? It is permissible. How? So the issue has been discussed. Somebody married a young girl. Some people say, no, he gave $100,000 as mahar. How can you marry a girl and give $100,000 as mahar? I feel it is too much. This money is too much. There are poor people. So because there are poor people, you should not have married a woman with ₦100,000 mahar. What is the basis? Do all these things have any basis at all in the Sharia? Because you do not blame a man if he does anything that is within the confines of the Sharia. It is within the confines, it is outside the Sharia. You see what he has done, the Sharia does not like it. Allah is displeased with it. When what he has done is within the Sharia, then we find no basis really to blame such a person. That what he has done is wrong. Some people say, no, he divorced one wife before he married another woman. Is that also permissible in the Sharia? Wow, how? How does the Sharia? We are not talking about how people view things. Because this is the essence of the Sharia. The Sharia has come to unify mankind. That's why he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ تَبَى الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. If the truth were in consonance with the desire of each and every person, the whole heavens and the earth will go asunder. If what you want is the truth, what he wants is the truth, what he wants is the truth. So who will rule what? What will rule where? There will be confusion all around the earth. So Allah brought the Sharia to unify us. So he says, وَاَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. This habl of Allah is his Sharia upon which we are all to grasp. When you grasp upon the Sharia, you leave your opinion to it for the Sharia. I leave my opinion for the Sharia. She leaves hers, he leaves his, you leave yours, then there will be uniformity of amongst mankind. So the Sharia has come to unify mankind, make man drop their desire for that for which Allah, their Lord and their Creator, who loves them all, has given them as a way of life. So then we'll find peace. We'll know what to blame a person for and what not to blame a person for. We hope, inshallah, we'll try to be as soft as possible and as brief as possible. Perhaps at question time, other aspects that we may not mention, because each of these discussions itself suffices for a full discussion. So we pray Almighty Allah to make us understand better than it will be explained, inshallah. The first issue is the issue of the hadith. Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, a'laha wa afdaluha la ilaha illallah. Qawlu la ilaha illallah. That Iman has 70 some aspects. From 70 aspects. They get that to say 70 some. Bid'un wa sab'un. Bid'un wa sab'un is bid'un is used for between 3 and 9. So you have 3, you have 5, you have 7, you have 9. So when you say bid'un wa sab'un, imma idat, that could mean 73, or 75, or 77. Arabs use that word bid'un. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, al-imanu bid'un wa sab'un shu'bah. He says, a'laha aw afdaluha, the best of it is qawlu la ilaha illallah. the saying that there is no deity worthy of worship except you. He says, وَأَدْنَاهَا بِمَا خَطُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. The least aspect of Iman is to remove harmful things from the road of the people. To remove a harmful thing is from Iman. And he said, الْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Shyness is an aspect of Iman. So three things, the importance of this hadith. The importance of this hadith is so great because it proves a lot of things. The first thing that it proves is that actions are from Iman. Because it says that أَدْنَاهَا إِمَانَ فَتُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. The lowest aspect of Iman is to remove harmful things from the road. So removing harmful things from the road is what? Is an action. So it means an action could be from Iman. Just like Salah is from Iman. All of these actions in Salah, Ruku, Sujood, they are from acts of Iman. That's why the Ijma of the Ulama says that when Allah says that وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِمَانَكُمْ, that إِمَانَكُمْ means what? صَلَاتَكُمْ. That Allah does not intend that the change of the Qibla does not intend to waste your salah that you have been performing while you face Jerusalem, while you face Baitul Maqdis. He does not intend to destroy that salah. So that's what وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ. He was not going to, he does not intend to destroy your salah. So ulama say وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ is وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ صَلَاتَكُمْ. Salat is from Iman. So this hadith is evidence that actions are from aspects of Iman. And it says قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. قَوْل, statement. That from Iman also is what you say. So it is obligatory that somebody must utter the statements of Iman. So it says قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَعْلَاهَا. So a person can't have Iman without saying Iman, without uttering the statements of Iman. If he does not utter the statements of Iman, but he says that he has Iman in his heart, he's behaving like the Munafiqun, or like the Jews. The Munafiqun, their case is the other way. They say the statements of Iman, but in their heart they don't have Iman. So their case is like the case of the Jews. Not even Fir'aun. Fir'aun knew that the Lord of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah Rabbul Alami. But he refused it. He never uttered the statement of Iman. And when he wanted to utter the statement of Iman, Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam prevented him from doing so. So he stopped his mouth with the sand from the seabed and did not allow him to say it. He said, because he said, he may be forgiving, he may be forgiving. This is why I prevented him from saying it. He had said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. That statement, he must be punished for it. So Fir'aun knew in his heart that Allah is one and he is the one that deserves worship. But he didn't say it with his heart, with his tongue. He did not utter it out. So it is obligatory that anyone who believes the statements of Iman, he must say it with his mouth. Iman must be uttered with our mouth. So this hadith is evidence for that. That Allah, the greatest aspect of Iman, is qawlu, to say La ilaha illallah. That is to say the words of Iman, as this hadith has indicated. That he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that wal-haya'u shu'batun min al-Iman. Al-haya', shyness or bashfulness, is an aspect of Iman. So this makes us understand that bashfulness, of course, is from the a'malul qalbiyya. It's from the heart-related acts of worship. Al-haya, like tawakkul. Tawakkul also is from the heart-related acts of worship. So it makes us understand that Iman is a thing of the heart, a thing of the tongue, and a thing of what? The limbs. So this aspect, this hadith makes us understand that. So it's a very important hadith. And because it is a thing of the limbs, and of the mouth and of the tongue, and human beings vary in the way they act upon these things. Two people may pass on the road. Once the two of them saw a harmful thing on the road, one may remove it, the other may not care. The one who has removed it accepted his Iman in that aspect than the other one who has not removed it. So in respect to aspects of worship, we vary the way we'll be doing these things. The way a person, the number of La ilaha illallah each of us has said today is not equal. So that means our Iman will not be equal. The number of good deeds we have done with our actions, the number of nawafil some of us have performed today cannot be the same. Some of us may not have performed any nafil today, and it's from actions. So the hadith is also a pointer that an iman wa yazidu wa yankut, because we'll be doing these things differently. The same thing, our haya, we are not all bashful in the same to the same degree. Our bashfulness, as we are here, is different. Some of us here will see somebody say, "Hi, this brother is very shy. He's a very bashful person." We are not all shy equally. So it means we are not all having the same level of iman. And this is the position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. The iman yazidu bi ta'a wa yanqusu bil ma'siyah. Iman increases when you act upon goodness, you obey Allah, and it reduces when there is an act of sin. So this is the importance of this hadith. As such, it is important that we know what has really been reported. Has he said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, has he said al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, or has he said al-imanu bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba? What did he say alayhi salatu wasalam? As we mentioned earlier, nobody has reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam except Hafiz al-Ummah, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And from him, Abu Salih al-Zayyat has reported from him. Abu Salih al-Zayyat is one of the closest students of Abu Huraira. But he reported the hadith alone. He was said to have been in the house on the day Uthman ibn Affan was killed. It was said that any day Uthman was mentioned when he was alive, he would be crying. Zakwan al-Zayyat, Abu Salih, you mention Uthman, he'll be crying, remembering that day. And we also remember that Abu Huraira was amongst them that day too. Those companions who stood died for Uthman ibn Affan before those insurgents came in and killed Uthman ibn Affan. He is reported to be a very learned student of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. There is a point of benefit in the life of Zakwan al-Zayyat, Abu Saleh. And that is the fact that he is referred to as al-Zayyat because he used to take zayt. He used to take oil. He is al-Madani from Medina to Kufa to sell. And he is reported to be Kasir al-Bukha. He cries a lot. Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-A'mash, he reported that one day in their masjid, their Imam did not come. So they asked Al-Imam Zakwan al-Zayyat to leave the Salah. They said he was hardly able to complete the Salah. Likasurati bukaihi. Because he was always crying in the Salah. Yet this one did not prevent him from going to sell his oil to earn money. This is the point of reference. That somebody attempts to be pious and holy, so to speak, it does not prevent him from seeking legitimate means of a livelihood. It's very, very important. And aside that, he had three of his children from the greatest scholars of hadith. From them is Suhail ibn Abi Saleh. Suhail has two brothers, Abdullah ibn Abi Saleh and Saleh himself ibn Abi Saleh. He has three children, three males from the scholars of hadith. So he himself, alhamdulillah, a pious follower of the companions. And then a regularly, you know, worshipping person. And then he was involved in what to get himself what to eat. So that somebody's child does not say that he should not attempt to get legitimate means of survival. And that is from the best ways of feeding our mouths. That a man does to what he earns from his hands. So this hadith was reported from him by Abdullah ibn Dinar. Abdullah ibn Dinar also is a very learned companion of the companions, because he is Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Dinar, his brother is Amr ibn Dinar. Abdullah ibn Dinar is from the freed slaves of Abdullah ibn Umar, the companion radiallahu anhuma. And that was why from the students of Nafi also was Abdullah ibn Dinar. He took also from Nafi, because Nafi is said to be closer to Abdullah ibn Umar than Abdullah ibn Dinar. So Abdullah ibn Dinar, in this case, has reported this hadith from a tabi'i. So in this report, we have two tabi'is. Tabi'i, the first tabi'i is the one who reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that is who? Zakwan al-Zayyat. The one from whom Zakwan, who reported from Zakwan, was Abdullah ibn Dinar. He is also a tabi'i, but he has also reported from a fellow tabi'i who has the report. He didn't have the report. And nobody reported from, as Al-Imam ibn Rajab al-Hanbali has said in his share of Bukhari Sahih Bukhari, nobody has reported this hadith from Abu Huraira except Zakwan al-Zayyad. Nobody has reported this hadith from Zakwan except Abdullah ibn Jinnah. So this hadith is the one that is referred to as what? Gharib al-Mutlaq. So the Garaba comes from the actual of the hadith. But from Abdullah ibn Dinar, about five scholars have reported the hadith. The first of those who reported the hadith, or one of them, is Suhail ibn Abi Salih. Ulama al-Imam ibn Rajab again, he said, Suhail didn't hear this hadith from his father. He heard it from who? Abdullah ibn Amr. It's Abdullah ibn Dinar. So Abdullah ibn Dinar reported from the father of Suhail. So Suhail heard this hadith from Abdullah ibn Dinar. Asad Suhail ibn Abi Salih, we have Muhammad ibn Ajlan. He is also from the scholars of hadith. Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned some hadith about him in his Sahih. Though his referred to ulama says Hassan al-Hadith, Saduq Hassan al-Hadith is not sikkum. Because of some of the things that happened, and especially regarding the hadith of Abu Huraira. Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, radiallahu rahimahullah, that who was Saduq? The Saduq, Saduq, those who are referred to as Saduq are those whose reports are Hassan. And that he had ikhtilafat fi ahadithi Abi Huraira. When yakhtalif fi ahadithi Abi Huraira, he has ikhtilaf, he contradicts more reliable reports regarding the hadith of Abu Huraira. And this is one of them. So it's one of them, Muhammad ibn Ajlan. We also have Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah ibn Dinar. This is the son of Abdullah ibn Dinar. He reported the hadith. We also have Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Hadi. He also reported from Abdullah ibn Dinar. And we have Sulaiman ibn Bilal. Sulaiman ibn Bilal also reported from Abdullah ibn Dinar. So we have about five of them or six of them. If we read Fathul Bari, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar didn't mention Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Hadi. And he did not mention Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman ibn Abdullah ibn Dinar. Those who have mentioned it was the one who has mentioned it is Imam al-Hafiz ibn Rajab in Sharh al-Sahih al-Bukhari al-Bari. So it's likely you go and check al-Bari of al-Hafiz, just by the fact that he mentioned chains of narrations of this hadith, and it is not found there. And Imam Badruddin al-Aini also mentioned it in his Umdat al-Bukhari. So these are those who have reported this hadith from Abdullah ibn Dinar. In his discussion on this hadith, Al-Imam ibn Rajab alayhi rahmatullah said that waqad zakara, we said about four of the persons, Suhail ibn Abi Salih, Muhammad ibn Ajlan, Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah ibn Dinar, Sulaiman ibn Bilal, and then Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Hadi. Five people from Abdullah ibn Dinar. Al-Imam al-Uqayli, alayhi rahmatullah, one of the scholars of hadith, he says, Al-Imam ibn Rajab referred to him saying that, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْأُقَيْلِيُّ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنِ دِينَارِ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ طَبَقَاتِ. Al-Imam al-Uqayli has said that the students of Abdullah ibn Dinar, they are in three levels. He says, the first of them is Asbat, the most reliable amongst them, كَمَالِكٍ وَشُعْبَةَ وَسُفِيَانَ ibn Uyayna. So like Al-Imam Malik, Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, and Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And then he said the second level, that the Mashayikh, those are those who are not as strong as the first level of reporters. He says, Kasuhailin, like Suhail ibn Abi Salih, wa Yazid ibn al-Hadi, that's Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Hadi, wa Muhammad ibn Ajlan. So he says, three of them, they are from the Mashayikh. He says, Qala, Imam ibn Rajab is quoting Imam al-Uqayli. He says, وَفِي رِوَايَتْهِمْ أَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ دِينَارِ اِبْتِرَابِ وَفِي رِوَايَتْهِمْ يعني رواية المشايخ, those second in the degree like Suhail, like Yazid ibn al-Hadi, like Ibn Ajlan. He says, وَفِي رِوَايَتْهِمْ أَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ دِينَارِ اِبْتِرَابِ. Their narration from Abdullah ibn Dinar is regularly confronting and contradicting. They will report one narration in two forms that are contradictory. This makes us understand the statement of Ibn Rajab that the Ittirab actually came from the shak that الإيمان بدء وستون أو بدء وسبعون actually came from سهيل بن أبي صالح. But this statement makes us understand that not him alone does so regarding the narrations of Abdullah ibn Dinar. He does so, Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Hadi does so, Muhammad ibn Ajlan also does so. So we are left with Sulaiman ibn Bilal. And like some of the scholars have said, that's why Al-Imam al-Bukhari chose the riwayah of Sulaiman ibn Bilal. So we are left with the riwayah of Sulaiman ibn Bilal amongst those who have reported the hadith. And Abdul Rahman. The riwayah of Abdul Rahman has some other things regarding which the scholar have said. So we drop the riwayah of Abdul Rahman, the son of Abdullah ibn Dinar. So we have these reports, and we have remaining the riwayah of Sulaiman ibn Bilal, because those of Suhail and Yazid and Muhammad ibn Ajlan are always mutawatir. They are riwayat. He says, وَقَالَ, he said again, Al-Imam ibn Rajab, and this is the area of problems too, that إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لَمْ يُتَابِعْ هَؤُلَاء مَشَايِخْ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْأَفْضَاتِ. Ibn Rajab, عليه رحمة الله, says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, this hadith, لَمْ يُتَابِعْ هَؤُلَاء الْمَشَايِخْ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْأَفْضَاتِ. None of the most reliable from those who report from Abdullah ibn Dinar has reported this hadith, aside these mashayikh, Suhail, Yazid, and Muhammad ibn Ajlan. He says, and Abdullah ibn Dinar, that nobody has reported from Abdullah ibn Dinar except these mashayikh. This was why also Al-Imam ibn Rajab gave preponderance to the riwayah of Suhail. He gave preponderance to the riwayah of Sulaiman ibn Bilal, which is the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Because Ibn Rajab is from amongst those who said what is correct is Sittun, Bid'un wa Sittun. And Bid'un wa Sittun is the riwayah of Sulaiman ibn Bilal. Because he has said that the riwayah of other than Sulaiman ibn Bilal is Mudkariba. They have Ittirab in their riwayat from Abdullah ibn Dinar. Suhail has Ittirab in his riwayat. Abdullah Yazid ibn Abdullah has, Muhammad ibn Ajlan has. Of course, Abdullah, let's mention that too, Abdurrahman ibn Abdullah also has, لِأَنَّهُ رَوَى أَيْضًا بِالشَّكْ. He also reported the shak, saying, فِتُونَ أَوْسْتَبُعْنُ. So his riwayah is in the category for this hadith of those Suhayz and Yazid and Muhammad ibn Ajlan. The only one who does not have any problem, as far as this tabaqa is concerned, from among those who has reported this hadith is Sulaiman ibn Bilal. And that is the riwayah we are going to find in Sahih Bukhari. We are also going to find it in Sahih Muslim. But we'll come down a little bit, inshallah. So from Sulaiman ibn Bilal, three persons have reported from Sulaiman ibn Bilal. The first one is Bashar ibn Umar. In Fath al-Bari, Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab says Bashar ibn Amr. When his book again, Taqrib al-Tahdhir, he says Bashar ibn Umar. Allahu alam with the one that is most authentic. I did not have the opportunity to check. We can check further and confirm. Is it Bashar ibn Umar or Bashar ibn Amr? Bashar ibn Amr also reported the shak from Sulaiman. So he said, Bid'un was Sittun or Bid'un was Sab'un. So his report is one side too. Also we have Yahya al-Himmani. Yahya al-Himmani, Shaykh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, regarding him said, Fihi da'af. So his report is also set aside. The third person who has reported from Sulaiman ibn Bilal is Abu Amir al-Aqadi. Abu Amir al-Aqadi also, he reported two separate reports. He has two groups of those who have reported from him. The first person who reported from him, Abu Ja'far Abdullah ibn Muhammad al-Musnadi. And this is the person from whom Imam Bukhari reported. He said, Al-Iman bid'un wa sittun. Also from who? From Abu Amir. And Abu Amir was reporting from who? Sulaiman ibn Bilal. The second people who reported from Abu Amir were two of the scholars too, Abdullah ibn Sa'id al-Sarqasi and Abd ibn Sumayd, Sahib al-Musnad, Musnad al-Sumayd. These two people reported, their report is collected by Imam Muslim. And they said that Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'un. These two said Al-Iman bin Wasab'un, and Abu Ja'far said that Al-Iman bin Wasab'un. So it means Abu Amir Al-Aqdi has two reports. One report from him, no shak. One report from him is saying Al-Iman bin Wasab'un. He has a report in Bukhari. One is saying Al-Iman bin Wasab'un. That is the report in Sahih Muslim. So the ulama say we are not going to say that Tirab here, because tarjih is possible. Tarjih is giving preponderance to a report. Two of the scholars say that he is reported to have said that Al-Iman bin Wasab'un. That's the report in Sahih Muslim. So Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah says this is a riwayat al-rajiha, because there are two. And the person who has reported Sittun is one from the same source. One said he said Bid'un was Sittun. The other one said, the two others said that he said Bid'un was Sab'un. And that is the report in Sahih Muslim. So he made tarjih of the report of Abd ibn Humayd and Abdullah ibn Sa'id al-Farqasi over the report of Abu Ja'far in Sahih Bukhari. So he said this is the most reliable report, that Al-Iman Bid'un was Sab'un. Because that is what has been reported by the most preponderant among those who have reported the hadith. And that is the report in Sahih Muslim. It means that any other report that will be found must be a tabi' for this report. Will be like a mutaba'ah for this report. If we find anybody reporting anything, he will be making imma a tabi' for Sulaiman ibn Bilal, or he will be becoming a tabi' for Abu Amir al-Aqdi, or he will be becoming a tabi for any of these people, as the case may be, depending on the tobacco where this kind of a report is found. So what we hold on our hands is that Al-Iman bid'un was sab'una shu'bah. This is the report from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Abu Salih al-Zayyat Zakwan reported from him, that Abdullah ibn Dinar reported from him, that Sulaiman ibn Bilal reported from him, and that Abu Amir al-Aqdi reported from Sulaiman ibn Bilal, and that Ubaydullah ibn Sa'id al-Sarqasi and Abd ibn Humayd reported from Abu Amir al-Aqdi, and Al-Imam Muslim reported from them. And that's why Imam Muslim made this report the first in his Sahih when he talked about this hadith. Al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Waqt, Shaykh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, he said we can come back to the report of Suhail, because the report of Suhail are in three forms. Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna has reported from Suhail ibn Abi Salih that Suhail reported to him that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, as we have the isnad above, that Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. It's a separate report. That is the report of Sufyan ibn Uyayna from Suhail ibn Abi Salih. You see that it conforms with the other reports we had established. This report of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, in the same manner Al-Imam Hammad ibn Salama has reported it from Suhail ibn Abi Salih. That Suhail ibn Abi Salih said that Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. You see again that it conforms with the other reports. But in this case, Sufyan and Hammad will be having the mutaba'ah for Abu Amir, but it's like there is taqsir there. It's kafira because they didn't take from the same sheikh, but they take from the pool of the same tobacco. Bilal ibn Sulaiman on the other hand, and on the other hand, Suhail ibn Abi Salih. So, but this report will be confirming the other report. The third kind of report that has come, the second kind of report that has come from Suhail is the report of Shak by Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid. He said Suhail said Bid'un wa Sittun aw Bid'un wa Sab'un. In this level too, it means Suhail reported different forms. Sometimes he reported Sab'un, sometimes he reported Sab'un aw Sittun. And here also, two from the greatest scholars of hadith, generally speaking, Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Hammad ibn Salama, has reported Sab'un. So tarjih is also possible for this riwayah of Suhail. So it is possible to say that Suhail actually reported Sab'un and not Sittun. Because two of his students said he reported to us, Sittun, no shak. Sabu'un, no shak. And one of them, Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid, said he reported what? Sittun or Sabu'un. So it means it is possible to still do a tarjih of the report of Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Hammad ibn Salama over that of Jarir ibn Abdul Hamid. And that will be that the report of Sabu'un will be given to preponderance over the report of Sittun. And that will be in conformance with the report of Abu Amir al-Aqadi from Suleiman ibn Bilal. I hope this thing is clear. Allahu Alam. So that is the reason why the scholars have given preponderance for the riwayah of Sab'un. This is the report, this is what most of the scholars of hadith had said, like al-Imam al-Hulaini, like Imam al-Nawawi, like Imam al-Qadi Iyab, and then at the end of them, Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, have mentioned that. If you look at the books like Umdat al-Qari of Imam Badruddin al-Aini, you will be able to see this Jamul Asanid and the Sharh Sahih Bukhari of Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. If you look at it again with that of Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar and Fath al-Bari, you will be able to put this together, and then if you look at Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahihah, you put this together, inshallah, you'll have this result. That what is correct from the Prophet Riwayatan is that al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. That was why that day when the brother says sittuna shu'bah, I say no, I say sab'un. Because what is reported, what is correct as far as reporting is concerned, is that al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adnaha ima qatul adha anit tariq wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. I think inshallah this suffices for that hadith as far as the issue of is this sittun, is this sab'un is concerned. So the most correct, the correct report about this is the report in Sahih Muslim by Al-Imam Muslim that Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'un shu'bah. The report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari that Al-Imanu bid'un wa sittun, the ulama refer to it as riwayatun marujuha. And they refer to that in Sahih Muslim as what? Riwayatul Rajiha. The one that is most preponderant. Allahu A'lam. The second matter is on intikhab or intikhabat, voting. That the Sharia does not consider voting as one of the ways of voting by, I don't mean election. Because from the meaning of vote or voting is to select. We select. Even the fact that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was made Khalifa is by selection. Or appointing. These are the synonyms of that word, vote. But the vote we mean here is the way we know it in democratic processes. That a person comes out, ushers himself, presents himself for an electoral position. And then he campaigns and presents himself, and then he says, please vote for me. Perhaps there is an electoral body who in charge of the elections. He contests an elective post. He is voted by every person who has attained suffrage, 18 years I think, and who is a registered person to vote. And then he has a party, political party, that campaigns for him, that supports him financially and morally against the other party and all of this. It is this voting in this context that we are talking about. It is not known in the Sharia. It's not permissible in the Sharia. And like we said, some of the scholars have mentioned very many reasons. Someone wrote a whole book on why voting is wrong. And in it, he brought about 21 or so reasons why voting is not part of the Sharia. From these 21, we just count about 7. With the verses appropriately and narrations from the Prophet that shows that voting procedure as we have it today is not from the Sharia of Islam. The fourth reason that he gave, Hafizahullah, is still alive, is that yusaddibu l-ikhtilaf wa tafarruqu l-madmum. Voting, yusaddibu l-ikhtilaf. It causes differences amongst the Muslims. And division that the Sharia has prohibited. This is what voting does. If any person who wants to contest an electoral position now, perhaps let's give a practical example. Maybe it's in the PDP or CPC. So There are Muslims in CPC, there are Muslims in the PDP. I divided the Muslims along those party lines. Even when we had NRCSDP, the Muslims were divided on the two sides. Muslims. And they are being divided as predicted by Allah. But what has brought about that division is the search for the voting for electoral positions. So it divides them. And Allah had said that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The Muslims are a single brotherhood. He said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So hold on firmly unto the rope of Allah. Do not be divided. So people could say, oh, the Muslims can form a party. If it were possible that in Nigeria, for example, case study, all the Muslims say they want to form a party, all the Christians say they want to form a party, there will not be democracy. They say, no, it's against democratic ideals. Because democracy is to break the lines of religion. Islam is to establish division along religious lines. Islam wants to establish division along religious lines. Here it says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينُ. We have our deen, they have their deen. Democracy says, no, break it. The Muslims and the kuffar, mushrikun, all of them together on one hand. Muslims, kuffar, mushrikun, on another hand. Muslims, kuffar, mushrikun, useless people, you have one part. For that, mix all the useless people and the good people and differently. Then you say, no, but Muslims can form a party. When the day the Muslims form a party, the Christians form a party. So, and nobody is on either of the sides except someone that believes in that, that the believer in that religion, they'll say there is no democracy. Even in cases where you still have Muslims, but you have more active Muslims forming a party, they dissolve the election. Isn't that what we had in Algeria in 1993? The same June 12th, Islamic Salvation Front. They say, no, we don't want that. Because it feels some Muslims there, but they feel that these Muslims here are more serious than these Muslims there, and these Muslims call it is Islam. It means it is not Islam that they want. It also means even if you bring that Islam along democratic platforms, it will not be accepted. So the actual enemy is Islam, not the Muslims. The Muslims could be stupid people. The Muslims could be anybody. So leave Muslims, but throw away their Islam. And once you derobe a Muslim of his Islam, what is left? It is that stupidity we are talking about. So it will divide the Muslims. There is nowhere that is voting except the Muslims are divided. The last elections we had that saw in the last president, Omar Musa Yar'Adua, is dead now. May Allah forgive him sins and make his illness a means of purifying him. He's a Muslim and he owes us this responsibility. The one who does not pray for him and is in a position to pray for him, he is owing Yar'Adua that responsibility. But he will ask him on the day of Qiyamah, oh, you owed me to pray for me, you didn't. If there are nobody who was going to bury Yar'Adua, all the Muslims will be sinning. Some of them have done it, then Fakatwa and Elbashi. So the rest of us, we are free. Else, we all will have responsibility to bury him. I was really sad last Friday. I was in a clinic. I was ushered into the client's waiting room. I saw an AIT. They showed a brother, someone that I know. He is a very young brother. He's talking about something at Allahu Alam. Before I came to meet was that they were telling him that Yar'Adua was dead. He should pray for, and he started laughing. He should pray for Yar'Adua. He started laughing. You don't laugh during condolence. It's from the innovation of the go to condolence and start laughing. The power of the disciples is to frown at somebody who is laughing when there is issues of janaza and death of a person. He's laughing. They say, Allahumma na wa qalba, Allahumma na wa qabra. Allahumma is saying and he's laughing. You don't laugh when you make such dua. So we have a duty to pray for. So when that election took place, it was the Muslims against the Muslims. One Muslim, even if he's a Sufi, the other Muslim too, he's a Muslim too. But the fact we are trying to establish here is that the voting process has divided the Muslims. And in fact, people we are conflicting, Muslims we are conflicting. Allahu Akbar. I remember another brother here, Abdurrahman, he's dead now. May Allah forgive him too. He broke his hand that day. That was the first time I was talking to him. He broke his hand. Police. He went to a place, they rigged election. The police carried him. They beat him, broke his hand. He was tying a platform of us for him then. We're tying it. I said, brother, what happened? They said, they beat me. They want to rigged election. I said, they should not rig it. I said, so did they rig it? And they said, they rig it after they finish beating me. May Allah forgive him too. So, this is the democracy they are talking about. And this is the kind of division. Don't be surprised that police who will beat him that day and then rig the election could still be a Muslim. So the voting procedure divides the Muslims along party lines, and Allah has prohibited division amongst Muslims. The second evil of this procedure is that al-hirsu wa tanafusu ala talab al-imara. Al-hirs, people making haste towards something. Wa tanafus, and contesting and competing ala talab al-imara, to earn the leadership. He wants to be leader, he wants to be leader, he wants to be leader. And the Sharia has prohibited that. The Sharia prohibits that a person comes to say, make me the leader. There's a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim and Sunan in Imam al-Nasa'i, Sunan al-Sughra, that some Ash'ariyun came with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith has a lot of benefits in it. Al-Imam al-Nasa'i brought it when he was talking about the Sunnah of Siwak. And how you can make Siwak, you can rinse your teeth in front of people. He said, because that day when those people came, the Ash'ariyun came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was rinsing his mouth. He was able to say, the way he was rinsing his teeth. So you can rinse your teeth in front of people. This is one of the benefits of this hadith. So when those people get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Musa told them, oh messenger of Allah, these people, I don't know them before. They just told me to come with them to you. I didn't know what they want to discuss with you. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad in his share of Sunan al-Nasa'i, he said this is evidence that one should always try to free himself from people's activities. He simply said, look, we want to see the Prophet. And they didn't tell him what for which they want to see the Prophet. So when they got to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing Abu Musa said, look, they said they want to see you, but they didn't tell me what for which they want to see you. I have brought them to you. So what they said to the Prophet was that, you have been sending people to be leaders and collect zakat, governors, collecting zakat and all of that. You are finding people offices in places. We too, we want to be assigned. You have been electing governors and representatives, so you go and collect so and so. Assign us too. The Prophet said to them, alayhi salatu wasalam, we do not assign those who seek for the post. This Ummah, we do not assign those who seek for it, who ask for it, we don't assign it. That was the report of the Prophet today. This is evidence that the one, alayhi salatu wasalam, so this is evidence that the one who seeks a post, make me governor, the Sharia will not make him governor. The one who says, make me VP now, they are all running for VP, that is the one who will not make the VP. So it is Sharia. So the one who posts his post as president, inshallah, 2011, inshallah, those are the people, it were the Sharia, those are the same people that we should not appoint as leaders. And the Prophet said one thing, alayhi salatu wasalam, that every person who calls himself a Democrat should think about. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, فَإِنْ أُعْتِيْتَهَا عَنْ مَسْأَلَةٍ وُكِلْتَ إِلَيْهِ وُكِلْتَ إِلَيْهَا. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنْ أُعْتِيْتَهَا عَنْ مَسْأَلَةٍ, if you are given by your asking for it, said Ukunta Ilaiha, you will be subjected to it. That is, it will overwhelm you. The leader, you are the one who asks, it will, the leadership, that office will overwhelm you. Wa in Ukita and Gary Maskalatin, but if you are given a leadership post when you have not asked, Ukunta Ilaiha, Allah will help you over the post. You will be helped. Allah will assist you to rule well. If you didn't ask, but you are giving, okay, take it and rule. And that's why in the Sharia, the person who is a leader does not hand over to another leader. When Uthman ibn Affan was saying that, let me hand over, let them allow me, and Abdullah ibn Umar said, you're setting a precedence, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't hand over to anybody. You are the leader, Allah has made you. Remain until whatever happens. So in the Sharia, don't say leader step down. There is no leader step down in our Sharia. So the one who didn't ask but Allah made it, that he's the one that's appointed, you'll be helped. But the one who asked, who tia and maskalatin, who kila ilayha. So you'll be subjected to it. That hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. And that's why Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, when he commented that hadith, he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ ذَا عَقْلٍ, anyone who is an intelligent person, لَمْ يَتَعَرَّدْ لِلطَّلَبِ أَصْلًا, he will not act in the first place. وَمَنْ كَانَ ذَا عَقْلٍ, anyone who is from the reasonable people, لَمْ يَتَعَرَّدْ لِلطَّلَبِ أَصْلًا, he will not say, please give me. He will never ask. Because the sensible person knows the importance, the significance of ruling people, and the responsibility such a ruler will be bearing on his neck on the day of Qiyamah. He will not say, come and give me. He will not do so if he's an intelligent person. The third reason he gave, he says, تَذْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ وَالتَّمَادُفُ بِالْبَاطِلِ, تَذْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ, voting processes encourage people to praise themselves. وَالتَّمَادُفُ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and you'll be praising people even if they are doing the wrong thing. And then people will be contesting the praise. That is, it is when they want to contest election, people will start telling you the money they gave for sadaqah, their zakat, their sadaqah. That month, the Ramadan before election, people used to eat very well. I've heard it before, people were abusing a politician that I heard it last election. People are saying that every ordinary zero he didn't distribute to us. Now he wants it, voting. People will do it for this shuhura, not for the sake of Allah. But politicians, do politicians do something for the sake of Allah? They are the ones who will answer that question, we don't know. Because if they are doing it for the sake of Allah, they are between Allah and them, that you know. We don't know. But what appears to us, while shocking the Zohir, is that they hardly do something for the sake of Allah. They want to be done for popularity, to be known, so that people will be shouting them, people sit for Hajj. People are doing that, they ban you in Kudiran Hang Hajj. You didn't give me Hajj seat, so no vote for him. So it will give all the malams. If you know one malam who is abusing him, calling, giving 20 million, the malam keep quiet. Any malam that wants to get money now, come and catch him. Namaji, don't vote for him, or he's a bad man. Why are you calling, giving 5 million now? He'll keep quiet. So these things, the voting processes, have brought about people giving themselves empty praises and contesting. Who is more educated, or who is more, these people start praising and say, who has more money? I remember in one of the Southwestern states, somebody is still contesting now. He lost the election, but he's still contesting in the law court. He was saying that any person who wanted to contest with the incumbent governor at the time should be ready to fill up a trailer load with 1,000 naira notes and put fire on it. That anyone who wants to contest against the existing governor, he should be ready to fill up a trailer with 1,000 naira notes and set fire on it. If he can do that, then he can contest. People shout, Allah Akbar. So this is the kind of thing you have. And what did Allah say to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, فَلَا تُزَكُّ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. So do not praise yourself. Do not be saying well of yourself. Allah alone knows the one who is most pious. The fourth one is some of what contains aspects of what we had explained. Munazatu al-amri ahlahu. Munazatu al-amri ahlahu. People will be contesting power with the existing, with the incumbent, leadership. So they'll be, and it is prohibited to contest power with existing leadership in the Sharia. Somebody is a president, don't contest with him. If you say this is what I want, yes, that's what you want. But the opposing political party, if the government says this is what they say, no, that we want the opposite. In fact, it's a not disease. If they don't do so, then it is a problem. That's why they start saying they should cancel the other party, that it is one party system, that because there is no opposition. So they call themselves opposition, and the Sharia says they oppose. They say, no, we are the opposition. This opposition, don't mind them. Oh. The leader of that opposition can be a malentendant man wearing Dabari Dao. They can be calling him Sheko. And he knows that it is wrong to be opposing the existing leadership. But what made him to be existing that, doing that to the leadership, democratic and the voting pattern and all this? So that if he does not do it, then there's no voting. There's no election. There's no democratic process. He must oppose him. Even when it is the right thing. Yes, in many cases, you see they're opposing something that is right. So no, they don't want you to do that because they are in opposition. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam. It says, Man atakum wa amrukum jami'un ala rajulin wahidin. Anyone who comes to you when your affairs is within under the control of a single man, yuridu an yashukka asakum. This kind of a person wants to cut off, break off your unity, or yufarriqa jama'atakum, or cause disunity in your congregation. He says, Aqtuluhu, kill that person. You want to say, oh, no, no, you want to scatter that unity, the governance is in. Kill that person. This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarakpuri, he has a book he referred to as Al-Ahzab al-Siyasiyya fi al-Islam, political parties in Islam. He's saying that it's not part of Islam. Discussing it. While he was explaining this hadith, he says, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْمُنَازَعَةِ تَتَحَقَّقُ فِي الْإِنْتِخَابَاتِ. There is no doubt that this munazah, this contest of power, comes up during intikhabat, during voting. He says, تَمَامٍ هِزْبٍ إِلَّا وَيُحَاوِلُ بِكُلِّ مَا أُوتِيَ مِنَ الْمَوَاهِدِ وَالْقُدْرَاتِ. He said there is no party except that they make effort with all of what is within their capacity. أَنْ يَتَجَلَّهَ عَلَى السُّلْطَانِ. They make effort to oppose and bring the leader under them, the opposing party, and both parties. Every person is thinking about doing that. He said, they like أَنْ يَتَجَلَّهَ عَلَى السُّلْطَانِ وَيَنْزِعَ الْحُكُومَةَ مِنْ أَيْدِي الْقَائِمِينَ بِهَا. First, to remove authority from those who are in charge of the authority in the first place. إِذَا كَانَتْ مِنَ الْأَحْزَابِ الْمُعَارِضَةِ. If it is from the position party. إِذَا مِنَ الْأَحْزَابِ الْمُعَارِضَةِ. All his effort is نَزْءُ وُلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ. He said, وَعَلَى الْأَكْسِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ. The same thing applies. The ruling party also, يُحَاوِلُ الْحِزْبُ الْحَاكِمِ. The ruling party also will be making effort. And يُفْلِكَ زِمَامَ الْحُكُومَةِ مِنْ يَدِهِ بِحَالِ. You are not to be insisting on retaining the power or removing whatever will make the other party to be relevant. So they will be contesting like that. And this contest of power and leadership, the Sharia predict. Those are from the evils of the kind of parties and the voting systems we have. The fifth one. The ulama say, يؤدي النظام الانتخابية إلى تولية غير المسلم. This نظام الانتخابية will bring about making other than a Muslim to become the leader. This is what we have seen. This نظام الانتخابية, يؤدي النظام الانتخابية إلى تولية غير المسلم أو غير المسلم. It brings about other than a Muslim becoming the leader. So you have one party, the other one, they say we have zoned our president to South. Everybody must vote for South. So a person who is Sheikhul Islam too, in his place, he will come and vote for South. Perfect. I will be contesting for him. If you say his name is Joseph, they say, oh, that Joseph will convert it to Yusuf. So from today, it's Yusuf. So we start calling that it's Yusuf. You say his name is Shegun, they say no, we convert that Shegun to Siraju. So Siraju me, Bashegun. And you'll be happy that we brought him there. Mune Musa. How do you defend that one before Allah? Also, the sixth one, they say you add the ila tawliyat al mar'ah. It could also become a situation where you add the ila tawliyat al mar'ah. A woman becomes the president or governor or chief judge. for any of those positions of leadership that the Sharia has limited a woman should be. That's what they are shouting now. They want to become president. The woman wants to become president. When she became senior president, she fumbled there. Is she not meant to be there? Yes, men have been fumbling, but it's not a news. When the woman fumbled, it's a problem. How can she be a mother? How can she be? And the Sharia has prohibited women from leading. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةٌ. A group of people, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ. They won't succeed. وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةٌ. They make a woman, or that the woman is the one making leadership upon them. They will not succeed. This hadith is in Bukhari. Those people who are defending, they will tell you that this hadith is weak. And the hadith is the hadith of Abu Bakr, is an authentic hadith. One of the scholars has written a whole book on this hadith, proving that the hadith is authentic. Because of those people. The seventh one we say we'll mention, inshallah, is a taswiya to bayn al-sawt al-rajul wa sawt al-mar'a wal-mu'min wal-kafir wal-alim wal-jahil. He said these words we bring about taswiya to bayn al-sawt al-rajul, equality between a man's voice, that is position and opinion, and a woman's position and opinion. And in evidence they are different. So to equalize it, the soul to Mar'a, that is the soul of the voice of a man and woman, is equal. He says, wal mu'min wal kafir, believer and kafir, they have equal votes. Wal alim wal jahil. So the sheikh, big sheikh, is big the man who is saying, hey, go on, he and one man who is just coming from the beer parlor, they are the same. So if that alim is really, really thinking, you know, he should not support a system that will bring him to be equal to a drunkard. That is, in democracy, they are equal. Have you had any difference? They are equal. And what did Allah say, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, وَنَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Are you going to treat mutaqun like fujar? But democracy treats them equally. Democracy treats them to be equal. It says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So democracy says, no, that's tough we are between Jahil and Ali. The voting. So you know, everybody, one vote. Jahil, one vote. Alim, one vote. Mu'min, one vote. Kafir, one vote. Man, one vote. Woman, one vote. وَلَيْسَ الزَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. What is one mean? Democracy, you know, any Daraja is one vote. Husband and wife. Your husband is in PDP, the wife is in CPC. Long stand. So these are some of the evils that the scholars have mentioned regarding voting and those procedures. They are not Islamic. The vote is not from the Wanas of Sharia. There are other reasons. One of the Sharia said, don't snap picture. You tell the photographer, the politician, not to snap picture. And from those who will be most severely punished on the job, they are those who take pictures. And you tell the politician that he not snap picture. You snap picture, display it everywhere. Some people will say, we can snap picture, but we can't display it. So two offenses. They snap and display. Some people say, no, don't display. Like for a you say, no, you can put it inside album. The politician is not putting it inside album. So Korodawi will change the software again. What should he say now that they should not do with the photograph? So they snap. And many of them will know that they used to be religious. When they start the policy, they don't become any religious. They are worse. May Allah forgive the late President Tiara Dua, who just died. The wife, when she came in to become the wife of the president, she used to put her head cover upon her head. Later she dropped it. Now, yesterday or the day first day, she put it back. Everybody must return to it. She used to put it on her head when she came there. They were abusing her. Hey, 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 hey. She dropped it. Like saying back to the shoulder. She dropped it there. Later, wasn't she even using it at all? Then before yesterday, she put it back on her head. If Allah wants everybody to have iman one way, you know how to do it. He will force us and we will, but he does not want, he wants everything to be the fear. Choice. Choose what you want. He will not force you to do anything. Everybody will choose what he wants. But he knows what he will do, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants to compel us upon obedience, he knows. She returned the jab, the head cover out, onto her head, looking very serious. And you see sorrow on the face. May Allah give her patience and the fortitude to bear it, because there is no person that it will happen to. We are saying it so that she can take more evil from it. They know, because people insan over evil. After now, she will forget again. But we hope she does not forget and she remains upon this. She will get better. It becomes a lesson for her. She can change and become better, inshallah. She put it back. Those people who are telling her that time, please remove it now, remove it now. Where are they to support her now? So voting and democracy, they are not from Islam. The third issue is, can a Muslim male marry a girl that's not a matured girl? They've been using the word minor, so let's start from there, inshallah. Minor is nothing. It's a legal word. Is not even a free word in the linguistic sense. It's a legal word, minor, this word. And people are using it, I think it's a common English word, no. And it has no specific meaning in different countries. The meanings will change in every country and in every community. And even regarding the issue that you are talking about, the word minor, its meaning will change. A minor is the age of legal responsibility. The age of legal responsibility. That age is not fixed in any country. It's in all the countries of the world. If you go to US, it may be a one age. Before 2003, there's what they call age of consent in Britain for homosexuality. It was said to be around 13, 14 at the time. It was dropping. The prime minister at the time, what was his name? Tony Blair was campaigning that the age of consent for homosexuality be dropped so that he could get the vote of homosexuals. At the same time, the age of consent for marriage was being increased while the age of consent for homosexuality was coming down. So age of consent or minor is the other way around. The minor is age of legal responsibility, the age at which legally you can do some things. So age of consent for marriage is different from age of consent for a business. Age of consent for marriage is different from the legal age for signing a business, for owning a property, for doing so many things. That's why I say it's not static. Minor in one country will not be minor in another country or in another community or regarding another matter. So the word minor has been freely used in the case, but let's bring minor to mean somebody below puberty. So we can use it. Somebody below puberty, somebody below mature, because the puberty is the transit period between being a child and being an adult. That transition period is what is referred to as the age of puberty. And it's also not static. It is different from different human beings in different communities. That's why you see at age 12, some girls are already matured. Because the age, they say it. That what the index, the final index of puberty, of adulthood for a girl is menstruation. When the girl menstruates, she's no more a minor. She's now a full adult. So she menstruates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't say we are saying after three menstruations she must marry you. We are talking about maturity. Now we are not coming to Sharia at all. Now we are talking about what we see in the life of people regarding the words that have been used. So, the last show of end of puberty for a girl is menstruation. Once the girl is menstruating, she's a mature girl. She's mature, she's an adult. If you call her a minor, you are, as far as marriage is concerned, you are insulting the girl. She's not a minor. Because she's no more a puppet in the age of, she's not in the pubertal age, as they say. So those are minors. Minor is any person below the age of adulthood. And the same thing for men. In men, they say they grow their hairs in the pubic regions, their voices change, and they like to take individual decisions, they want to be independent, things like this, for men and women. So a minor is anybody below the age of puberty. The other question is it permissible to marry a girl like this? I think let's also clear another problem. There's also another misunderstanding, and that is trying to differentiate between marriage and sexual relations. They are two different things. A marriage could be conducted and concluded, but the conjugal relations between the man and the woman may be done at any other time. The woman is married. But people who understand, I want to say marriage, you are saying that, are you going to carry that small girl into your bed? No. I can put her on my bed, putting perfume, powder upon her until she grows up. That doesn't also mean conjugal relations. Or marriage, there's a difference between marriage and conjugal relations. How many people have married when their wives are menstruating? Did they cohabit with her? They wait for her until she finishes. So when menstruation disallowed us from cohabiting with a mature girl, then age and maturity could also disallow us from cohabiting with a girl that's not mature. So there's a difference between marriage and conjugal relations. So the Sharia supports that a man marries a woman that is a girl that is young, below the age of puberty, such that he will have ability to cohabit with her when she's matured. The Sharia supports it. The Quran supports it. The Prophet Sunnah supports it. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. The actions of the companions support it. And some of the scholars have reported ijma, consensus, regarding the fact that it is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do that, to marry a girl that is below the age of puberty, so that such that he can cohabit with her when she is matured for that. The fourth evidence in the Quran, there are two, mention one and go ahead, is in Surah Al-Talaq. In it, Allah says, وَاللَّائِي يَئِسْنَ مِنَ الْمَحِيضِ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ إِنْ اِرْتَبْتُمْ فَعِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْهُرٍ وَاللَّائِي لَمْ يَحِضْنَ. He says, وَاللَّائِي يَئِسْنَ مِنَ الْمَحِيضِ. Those who have problems, يَئِسْنَ مِنَ الْمَحِيضِ, they have problems with their head, مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ, from amongst your women. In a retabutum, when you don't know how to handle this matter, perhaps our menstruation is not regular, or perhaps, you know, there are women like that. And women, their menstruation is not regular. Some of them, 2 months, they may not menstruate. It's the third month they menstruate. It's not a problem, that's how they are. Some of them will menstruate every month. Some of them, 20 days, the month will not complete. Sorry, there are doctors here. Am I correct, sir? So that's how it is. In the reality, people have wives. You ask your wife and your sisters. You see, I have asked my wife and my sister. Sorry. So, women have this problem. So, this verse is talking about women who have such menstrual problems, instability regarding their menstruation and the cycle, how it occurs. So, when there is problem regarding, you know, for a woman who is divorced, she has a period of three, as is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, she has a period of 3 periods of purity to determine the freedom in her womb. This is called the period of Iddah, before she can marry another man. So he says, for those women that they have problems with their head, they can't decide a period of purity. He says, for Iddah to women, for such women, their Iddah is Salasa to Ashhurin, 3 months, 3 lunar months. He now said, Wallahi lam yashidun. The same applies to women who have never menstruated. Who are those who have never menstruated? The minors. You have never menstruated. You could include an adult too, because our Sharia is a wonderful Sharia. You could include an adult. If we have an adult that has not also menstruated, despite being an adult, there may be medical complexities. But an adult will reach adulthood 20, 25 and she's not menstruating. It is possible to find. Just like it is possible to find a 5-year-old girl that's menstruating and giving birth to a child. In 1935, it happened in Peru. A 5-year-old girl gave birth to a baby. In Peru, go to the net, you see. 5-year-old girl. So, that's why we say the age of maturity is not determined, it's varying. So, that 5-year-old girl, how did she get pregnant? She married. If she married, which law had permitted the marriage? If they are Muslims, who say this law is evidence for that kind of a marriage. Whether the husband is older than her or younger than her. That's why in Sharia, there is nothing like early marriage. There is no any marriage in Islam. Marriage is marriage. No age. Marry. No age. No early marriage. No late marriage. Marriage is marriage. When you marry, you want to marry, you marry. If people marry, don't want to marry, and they don't have a pressing need in the Sharia to marry, they mean, I'm not marrying. So even when we'll be telling such person that there is no Rahbaniya in Islam, he should not think that he's making deen. When he's not thinking that he's serving, if he is not thinking that he's serving Allah by not marrying, he may remain. Even when we'll be encouraging him to marry, but he will not be saying anything. We'll be encouraging him to be married, please marry now. But every day we do a program, we'll be doing it, talking, making telling me, explaining that he's marry. We encourage him. He has not married, there's nothing there. And it's not thinking that he's worshipping Allah by not marrying, because there is no La Rahbaniyata fi Islam. So this verse makes us understand. He says, Wallahi lam yahidun. The women who have never menstruated. If you have women who have never menstruated, or a girl that is below minor, that is below 30 age, that is still a minor, this verse is evident that she can marry. Because it is talking about divorce, and it is not possible to talk about divorce except that there is an early marriage before the divorce. So that's one of the evidences. The other one is in Surah An-Nisa. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَاسْتَنكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. If you think that you will not be able to do justice as far as marrying a yatima or yatama, the orphans are concerned. And orphanage is not said for any person that is matured. You say somebody is an orphan, it's before maturity. Once the person matures, it's no more orphan. It's no more an orphan. So if the Sharia is that, I'm telling us that anyone who is able to take care of an orphan, pay the dowry of the orphan, should marry the orphan. But if you are afraid that you may not be able to pay the dowry of an orphan, leave the orphan. He says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. Then go and marry those grown-up women. But you think you can pay the enough dowry for the kind of orphan you want to marry, you marry the orphan. In fact, some of the scholars are saying that the one under whose care the orphan is can marry the orphan. What they have differed on is, can he be the nakish, the one marrying, and the one that is being married unto? Some say, yes, he can be the one marrying, he can be. It happened to Mughira ibn Shu'ba. He had an orphan under his care, he wanted to marry her. He called his elder brother, marry this girl to me. He said, no, me and him. I said, okay, I marry her to myself. God be Allah one. Imam Shawkani mentioned it in Nail al-Awtar, and he mentioned that it's an authentic narration. Mughira ibn Shu'ba did it. He had many wives. Mughira ibn Shu'ba, we'll come back to that. When we discuss, people are saying that the Rima divorced one woman, marry her now. So what? He wants her again, divorce that one, marry another one. That's all. That is his own, that's between himself and the woman. That's between himself and the woman. This woman, I don't want her again. Salaam alaikum, go. He may not like anything about her, but he cannot go to the daily trust and announce that the reason why I divorced that woman was because so and so. The people are behaving as if he has to divorce his wife, he has to come to daily trust. Did he go to daily trust before he married her? So why does he have to go to daily trust to announce her divorce before he divorced her? And they say if she just gave birth to a baby. Does Sharia say don't divorce a woman, like just give birth to a baby? Even a woman that is pregnant, the Sharia gives provision.
That's why it says, Wa'ula to Hamlin. It says, Wa'ula to Hamlin. Ah, Wa'ula to Ahmad. Kan yabana hamlahuna. Those who are pregnant amongst the women, their time for the end of their iddah is when they deliver the baby. It means a woman could be divorced even when she's pregnant. So if Yerima divorced the woman when she's pregnant, whose problem is that? And as long as he divorced the woman, then he still has, that would have meant that he had three wives, Abi. And he could marry another one to complete four. Let that one happen 1 million times. It's not the problem of anybody. It's not the problem of anybody. Let that one happen 1 million times. He found a woman with which he's not pleased in his household. He divorced her and he married another one. He found another one, he's not pleased, he divorced her and married another one. Any person who is blaming Yerima is just talking. If you tell him, give us evidence from the Quran and Sunna why you should blame the man, you will not have any evidence. So you'll be talking about a man, blaming him for what is not blamable. You are enriching him because on the day of Qiyamah, he will collect all your rewards. You will be collecting all those abuses you are abusing him. Allah is taking note of them. You collect your rewards and give him, or you collect from his own sins. So why not keep quiet? A matter that does not concern you. And leave the man to live his life. So there are companions who did that. Mughira bin Shuba, that we said, is the one regarding whom he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said he wanted to marry a woman. And the Prophet said, have you looked at her? He said, no. He said, go and look at her. He came to the family of the man. They didn't want him to look at. The girl came out and said, no, allow him to look at me. See, the Prophet has actually ordered him to look at me. So he looked at the girl. He looked at her. And she became so loved. She was the only woman Mughira bin Shuba did not divorce from his wife. If not, Mughira bin Shuba is talaq, he usually divorced his wife. In that same report, the Muslim Imam Ahmad, he said that of the 70 wives he married, she's the only one he didn't divorce. Mughira bin Shuba, companion. Companion is more pious 1 billion times than 10 times Yerima. Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, how many did you have? 90. 90. Such that he proposed to marry a woman. Ali radiallahu anhu heard, he went to tell them, don't marry your daughter to him, you will divorce her. They said, we will marry to him. Grandchild of Prophet. We will marry her, unless he says he does not want. We will give him, as long as he wants, we will give him. But he didn't keep more than four at any point in time. So what is the noise? What is the noise? How many of them had a billion girlfriends out there? The one that was one Catholic that died, Craigie, that they disgraced and killed him. Some people, they deceived themselves, they disturbed themselves, they killed him, they wasted his life. He used to abuse Islam on the pages of Tribune. He hated Islam more than anything. The day that he died, his girlfriend started coming out to show that they are also children. The accusation killed his wife. So this Bola has been deceiving me. That's how many people have been deceiving their wives. Our religion is not a religion of deception. It's not at all. And that's why it's not a thing. If a man divorces another woman, another man will marry her. Another man will marry her. Zayd ibn al-Haritha, who was called Zayd ibn Muhammad, he was married to Zainab bint Jahsh. When he divorced Zainab bint Jahsh, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ordered him to marry Zainab. Do you know who Zayd married? Umm Ayman. Umm Ayman was the one that Zayd radiallahu anhu married, who gave birth to Usama ibn Zayd. That's why Usama ibn Zayd is black. Habibur Rasul is black. Usama ibn Zayd is black. Because the mother Umm Ayman is black. If you read the tarjuma of this woman, she said to have lost the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So compare her age with the age of Zayd. Compare the age of Umm Ayman, the mother of Usama. Compare her age to the age of Zayd if she's fostered the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So even young boys would marry women that are old. And the same way, and that's why Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, this author is in Sunan of Sa'id ibn Mansur. He married a woman for his son that was carrying a young boy. Ibn Umar married for the boy, his son. Abdullah ibn Umar married a woman for his son, who was Fadir, small boy. Ibn Umar married. Allah favored us with Islam. There will be no going through way in our ummah if we follow strictly sense of the rules of our Sharia. No going through way. And no offer will be there without a husband. About every woman you see, we have a place to fix herself up as a wife and as a mother. So, someone called me from Lagos. I told him, I said, please go 10 streets from your house. 10 streets. You will see that on every street there's between 12 and 15 years old girl that has aborted at least once. On the streets of Lagos, when I say Lagos, I'm not saying VIO. When I say Lagos, go to Shomolu, go to Lagos. Almost every street will have a girl between the age of 10, from 10 to 15, that has aborted at least once. Those same girls, even if they are told to marry, they'll say, hey, why are they saying they should marry? Deceiving themselves. And how many women are living under husbands that could be worse than Pharaoh? But they can't go because they say they don't want divorce. They'll be suffering. They are not living as human beings and they are not living as wives. Because if it does not work with Mr. A, it could work with Mr. B. And people are also carrying dirty things in their heads that they can't marry a woman that is a divorcee or a widow. Who told us that one? Of all the wives of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, it's only Aisha that he married as a virgin girl. How others were women that are either widows or divorces? What is the noise about? So, there's nothing in the Sharia that says what Karima did is wrong. People will just be talking, and they will not have justifications for what they are saying. So it's permissible. Aisha herself, radiallahu anha, the Prophet married her when she was 6 years old. 6 years old. And he cohabited with her when she was 9 years old. There's a lie people used to lie about this matter. Lie. You say that time women used to grow fast. Who told you? When in the case of Banu Mustalik took place between the 6th and 7th year of Hijrah. And in that case, so Aisha was saying, radiallahu anha, that those people who are carrying a haudaj, that is something like a building that women go through, saying sometimes they put it on the beast of burden, sometimes on men carry it. They didn't know that she was not inside. She said because she didn't have any weight. That time they didn't used to eat anything. She said, whether she's there or not, the weight does not make a difference. If she's a fat woman, will it not make a difference? Because that would have been 5 years after the cohabitation. Cohabitation with her took place in the first year of Hijrah in the month of Shawwal, after the Battle of Badr. So if that was in the first year, and Banu Mustalik took place between 6th and 7th year of Hijrah, it means about 5 years after. These people are saying that she was already a big fat girl when the Prophet cohabited with her. It would have meant she would have carried 5 years. How many kilograms is it likely that she had carried in 5 years? Such that the people would not know, make a difference whether she's inside the haudaj or not. So that falsifies that statement that she was fat, big, at that time Arabs used to be fat. Arabs have not discovered oil at that time, that they are eating big food now, they are fat, so eating chicken now, they are fat. So that time it is dry bread they are eating. She even used to say that sometimes they don't cook in their house now. So they will be eating dates, dadino. If the woman will be eating dadino and some days she's not cooking, that will be fat. What will she eat to get her to be fat? She is like the normal, ordinary girl, but she was ready for conjugal relations and it's very cool. If you say she was fat and big like this, there is no any evidence for that. The evidence that occurs contradicts that. So don't say, once the girl is good enough, marriage folk, there's another lie, VBF. We are not a doctor. But I think Muslims who are medical doctors could investigate this matter well. But before we start talking about their investigation, whenever there is any matter in any field of study regarding which, after discussing it, it will be coming back to the Sharia, put the Sharia as constant first. Make that one to be the variable. How many things have people discovered that it was like this, about which they will be querying the Sharia? Later they discover that it has changed and the science is harder. For how many years were we memorizing certain atomic theory? Later they come and told that they are all lies. And they have not changed. They are still teaching it in chemistry today. They are all lies. The lie that the one who went to Archipelago came back with Darwin. They have disproved it in all the forms. And they are still teaching the lies to people. Darwinism. He went to Archipelago, he saw crocodile he has never seen before. So use that to make conclusion for people living in Russia. How fallacious will that conclusion be? So this is what we have seen. So if there is a statement from the people who have studied VVF that is any marriage that is causing it, we don't believe. We should research that VVF very well. A woman recently was saying that she has a friend that's about 40 who gave birth, and she's having a VVF now. A mother was saying it recently that she now has another 13-year-old sister that has married and given birth, know anything like VVF. So the people talking about VVF should research that VVF very well and know what the implications are, so that before the non-Muslims begin to terrorize us with that. If they don't do it, we that are not medical doctors, we are going to do it. Yes. Give me Robina. We only need to sit down and read. Most of all, that's it. You don't learn it. Is it not English they'll be speaking there? Come sit down and read it. You know it. You write a paper. They will not be able to disprove it. So what we think the brothers who are in medicine could do that favor, take a week and research this so-called VVF from what has been written. You may not even be able to need to go and start seeing patients. From what has been written so far, go to the literature and search. See what they are, 7-10 pages, and let's see what the VVF is. So Allahu Alaa, Aisha radiallahu anha didn't have VVF. And many women have married children. Many million women have been married before that time. If you have any VVF. So that thing in there saying VVF today is that July the VVF. So these are a few things about all these matters that we have mentioned. Three of them actually. The hadith of Al-Iman and the hadith, the issue of intikhab, voting. And the matters that are connected to marrying a little girl. Many scholars have mentioned that it's ijma, ijma. Imam Ibn al-Munzir in his book Al-Ijma, he said that it's ijma, that if the Muslims can do that. Imam al-Shawkani mentioned that there's ijma. Imam al-Hafiz ibn al-Hajar mentioned that there's ijma in Fatul Bari. That even if that girl is a small girl. One of the companions did that. I think this case is very important. We'll close up with it. Qudama ibn Mazkun is one of the Prophet's companions. He was on the death bed. Zubair ibn Awam came to greet him. Was talking to him. Was ill. There and then they came to tell Zubair ibn Awam that his wife had given birth to a baby. Right on the bed. Qudama ibn Mazkun said, Zawijniha. This case is in Sunan al-Sa'id ibn Mansurah, it's authentic. Zawijniha, marry her to me. The dying person is saying to ask your daughter that they have not just given birth today. Marry her to me. The dying man, radiallahu anhu. He said, I should marry my daughter to you. And you are in this state? He said, yes. He said, if I live, he will be my wife. And if I die, she will inherit me. If I live, I have a wife. If I die, she has inheritance. It's authentic. A day old girl, one day. the day they gave birth to her. Gulama said, Fazawajaha iya. He married her to him. Zubair ibn Awam, one of those who've been told that he will enter Al-Jannah. So let people who want to shout be shouting, and let people who want to talk be talking. People have been talking before Yerima was born, and people have been shouting before Yerima was born. But let it be upon Haq, and he too, let him be steadfast. Let him not talk forward and talk backwards. Let him be convinced about what he has done. And let the people stop shouting about these things. It is from our own religion. They say there is a child rights bill. The child rights bill is un-Islamic, and the constitution gives freedom for religious practices. There is contradiction there too. It's not only this one, there are other things. Satan, circumcision, female circumcision. There are also bandits. It's part of that child rights bill. I saw the draft 10 years ago before it was brought in, 2002. I saw the draft of this child rights bill. That time. People were talking about it, who didn't listen? The part of it is that the woman, a girl, should not be circumcised. And it is from the Sunnah, at least, mustahab. There are scholars who say it is wajib. Like Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah and Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. They say it's obligatory. At least, mustahab. There is a law against it now. There is a law against khitan. So where are we going to? The everything the religion say, let's not worry. So what will remain? One day they ban salat too. Or if they don't ban the salat, they ban nawafil. Once you finish any salat, anybody who stand up again is unconstitutional. Because that's how it will be going gradually. And the Muslims will say, let's be managing. This is the same democracy they are talking about. So the democracy is not, it does not care about Muslims. What it cares about is what? Islam. The target of democracy is Islam, not Muslims. Muslims are just there. But if it succeeds in finishing Islam, the Muslims are useless people. They don't care. They don't care because the Muslims without Islam, they are nothing. They are not different from Kufar now. So that's why the Muslims must support, protect Islam, fight, support it, and make sure that they are the ones that Allah has used. And speak for it, defend it, don't be ashamed of it. There is nothing to be ashamed in Islam. Our religion says it. There are worse things. Do you know? Mary, in the Catholic Encyclopedia, Mary, the mother of Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, they say in the Catholic Encyclopedia that she got married to Joseph the carpenter when she was 13 years old. And that time Joseph was over 80. The carpenter, Joseph the carpenter. They are the ones who know that he's carpenter. So Mary, 13. Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the Catholic Encyclopedia, mentioned it. You can build up upon all these things if you go to the internet. You see more things. There is nothing to be ashamed of in our religion. We need to be happy and be proud about it. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Perhaps there will be a few questions, inshallah, we'll try to discuss. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Oh, they say we should talk about the dowry, $100,000 that he gave. That's equivalent to about 15 million. At least as of last week, 15 million naira. But I read in the paper that it's now 148. If it is 148, it is 14.8 million. So there's no much difference. That's nothing. The dowry of a woman could be anything the woman asks and the man is able to give. No limitation. If I'm not forgetting, there was a time we did a work about 5 or 6 years ago. We tried to look for the reports of the dowries, the marriage gifts of the Prophet to his wives. We found that one of them was Maimuna, was giving about 500 ukiyas or something. Our calculation 5 years ago, which would be around 15 to 20 million naira. It was given by the Najashi to her. It's a lot of money. And if you now bring it down, calculate it otherwise, you can do that. If you go to Al-Mahar, under the Bab Al-Mahar, in Nailul Awtar, Imam Shawkani mentioned about four or five of the wives of the Prophet, their muhur, they collected from the Prophet. You can calculate it. There is no one that's less than 1 million naira there. He give them based on what he had. Based on what he had, it's true. His own daughter, when she married, what did Ali Rosalind would give her? And he, alayhi salatu salam, did a marriage for the Walima. He said people should bring their food. The marriage of Sophia. He said people, he told Anas, go and tell them people should come with their food though. If a brother is marrying today and he says people, brothers, come with your food, yo. People say, ah, if you know that you can't marry, why did you marry? And in the marriage of Zainab bint Jahsh, for 3 days they were eating. When they eat and eat, they finish, the brother said, the food still remains. Say, yes, the food still remains. Good, call them to come. And I say, I go and say, hey, there's food, yo. People stick on 3 days. So it is as the condition allows. Don't forget, this man who is giving $100,000, $100,000 is nothing to him. So why are you crying? Some people say, no, you should distribute it among poor people. Who told you that one? Where is that one? Who said that one that you should distribute? Is it not sadaqah? What you give to your wife, is it not sadaqah? Yes, the food that you give into put into the mouth of your wife, is it not sadaqah? Some of those people spend more than $100,000 for girlfriends. These people talking, they send, someone told me he is the son of one of the richest people in this country. He didn't tell somebody who told me. He told me that some of them, if they don't have girlfriends, it's as if they don't have money. He said, so they used to keep girlfriends. You don't understand? That if they don't have girlfriends, it's like you don't have money. What you have to prove to show that you have money, you could have girlfriends in their circles. These people don't spend thousands for girls, so they would not even spend naira. They give them pound sterling and euros. But they are big boys. Some of them, even the senators, all these people, they have girlfriends. So they do anything with them. So talk about what a man gives to a woman he wants to marry. That is the $1 million. As long as he's able to afford it, and it's what the woman has asked for, he can afford it without stealing it or any of those, he has money. And it's okay. There is nothing that says it. We are a land where people wrote an article that in a country people are suffering. So he's the one who should bring his money to put road from Kaduna to do double way from Abuja to Lokoja. Because people are suffering on the road. There's no government in Nigeria. There's no Yaradua there now, Jonathan. You don't have that responsibility. Allah didn't ask him to do that one. What is in his jurisdiction? If he does it, you'll get the reward. But if it's not under what you need to take, blame him for that. Instead of marrying again for 100,000, bring the 100,000, let us put for a car on Kinkino Road. In Kinkino, there is no Kupadia. Your human should bring his $100,000 to cook. There is nothing like that. Allahu Ala. Alaykum As-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just go on.
I don't know who's answering. So Muslims are saying, even before the days of the 21st, that the person who was watching knew that perhaps he must die. And even when they are silent, they are saying that they have achieved the same time of the day. I don't know who's talking about them, but this is all the implications that are here in this time. And then secondly, for women, in trying to encourage students to learn Arabic, they will now say that because the angels in the Greek, they act with Arabic language. I don't know if there is any answer or any report for that. That the Christians in the Greek are acting
in Arabic. Well, let's start from the second question. That was appears as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen said in his Sharh Aqidat Al Wasitiyya. So what appears is that it will be in Arabic. But you know, the responses are not just your own responses. They are responses that Allah will enable you to say. So even if the person does not know Arabic, it does not mean that he will not be able to say in this grave. It does not mean so. Just like when Dajjal comes out, it will be written on his forehead, kafir. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every qari'un and gayru qari'in will be able to read it. Every person who is able to read and who is not able to read will be able to read that one. So the same thing applies, and in fact the one in the grave is more. So it's more than an ordinary event. They are extraordinary events. So the Arabiya that the person needs in his grave, Allah will teach him. Allah will teach him. That's what he says. He says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ. He would make them, you understand, be firm with that call of sadiq, those responses regarding which they will be asking to. Allahu Alam. Those who are saying that he has achieved this thing, he has not achieved this thing, what I'll advise is that we should avoid all this kind of discussions. In most of the places and most of the times, you will not be able to convince these people otherwise. And there's no profit in engaging in discussion when the person to whom you are talking, you can't convince him. Not because you don't have the explanations and the evidences, but because it's not the listening type. If it's the listening type, maybe his intellect is too lowly to be able to understand this. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal told us that at the beginning of Usul Sunnah. There are some of these matters, the people's intelligence are too lowly to understand. So just leave the man. Let that one just believe those things. If he does not believe, just leave him. So you should not take it like it's a responsibility that you have to make everybody understand that it is not about another that kills somebody. No. So in alayka illa al-balad. So and during the balad, so when you even do the balad, you do the tabliq, you discuss with the people on the level of their intelligence. And you leave the rest. Adaita ma alayka. You would have fulfilled what is needed to fulfill. If that person is the kind of a person that will listen. If it's not the kind of person that will listen, a rod is sufficient. Just leave the person there. Allahu Alam. Alaykum salam. Yes, it is wrong for the Muslim to vote in the Sharia and partake in partisan politics because of all these evils that has been described. And the fact is that there are even many other matters that is wrong for Muslims to do. You still see Muslims doing it. Many Muslims fornicate and commit adultery and all this. When they know that it's wrong. But the problem with this one is that many people don't know that it is wrong and they are doing it. So they will not be able to change it. In cases of zina and all that, they know that it's wrong and they are doing it. This one, they think that it's right. So that's why the onus is upon us to explain that, oh, it's also wrong, but even if you are doing it, know that it is wrong. And know that you need to change it. So if you don't know that it's wrong and you need to change it, you may even thinking that you are worshipping Allah with it. Well, this thing you are doing, Allah says this one of Ibadah, who say Amen. You don't know that it's wrong. So this is the need to explain to the people to know that it is wrong. Explain to them that it is wrong. They will still do it, but tell them it's wrong. So if you know it's wrong, you stop it. I know it's wrong, you stop it. The Muslims know that it's wrong, you stop it. We can speak up one day and say, no, we are not doing this one. You say, okay, how are we going to bring leaders? We have leaders who are Muslims amongst the leaders in this country who, when they speak, nobody can say they have not spoken for Muslims. There are people like that. Most of the sultans, most of the emirs, umara in the places are like this, but people just don't want to give them that respect. The sultan of the Qutaybi says, do this, many Muslims will do it. They will agree that it's the leader of the Muslims. It is the same partisan politics that will destroy that unity. Some people say, no, we don't agree. Why? Because it's not in their party or for one of these partisan reasons. So they further bifurcate the unity of the Muslims. So that's the reason why it is important that fundamentally we understand that it's wrong. Whether people are doing it or wrong or not doing it, it does not justify the wrongness. But the worst thing is that people don't know that it's wrong and they are doing it. In fact, people think that it's obligatory. So people will say that it's wajib, you must vote. If you don't vote, Allah will punish you. Allah will do so. Allah will. Let me try to be the last question, inshallah.
Taking into account the Nigerian situation, is it right to discolor our constitution completely or to relinquish power to the Kufa?
It's not possible that power is relinquished. It's not possible, particularly in an entity like Nigeria. The day Muslims say we are not doing democracy again, the Muslims, if we can do that, because your question is also based on that, you will not be talking about relinquishing power to non-Muslims without having in mind that there is a Muslim consensus. Am I correct? So if there is a Muslim consensus that we don't want democracy again, the alternative is not to give it to non-Muslims, I tell you. And it will not happen. The Muslims say, we don't want this voting democracy again. They will start asking you, so what do you want? So the alternative will not be that, oh yeah, Kufar. When even in democracy, Muslims don't want them to be leaders. That is the fact. Is it when now we can speak with a single voice that will now relinquish power to them? So it is not, there is no counterfact in that. You can't have a counterfact of that. The fact is that it's not possible that there is a relinquish, there is the power being relinquished to the non-Muslims. You can't counterfact that. Meaning that it's not possible. The question is not possible. Do you understand what I mean by the
question?
Yes.
No.
What is the proof that we should be active and not be passive? What is the evidence for it? Because being active in the balance of politics means seeking the office itself and fighting to build the power. That's what it means. So what really we need to do is, most times we like to start the building from the ceiling rather than from the foundation. The first thing the Muslims need is to know what our religion is. And the result of this, let's manage this kind of attitude, we can't leave it kind of, that's what has seen all those people you are seeing in the Senate and all those people there today who speak against things that are basically Islam. How do they know anything about Islam? And they think that they must contest the whatever. So they go there and they become anti-Islam. Hate Islam, fight anything Islam, they don't want to hear it. You say, oh, God, you have come with Islam again, you don't want to hear it. So the foundation is that the Muslims should come back to our foundation. These things we are talking, Aqidah, issues of belief, issues of Salat, issues of this. And let me tell you, these people will consider these issues as trivial issues. Please, let's look at it. Some people here are close to some of those people. Find out if any of them have a teacher where it's listening to Kitab-e-Tawhid. Kitab-e-Tawhid. Or Bulugh al-Maram. Oh, I know any wise, they don't have time for that one. It is how to be in one committee in the Senate or the other. So the foundation from where we have to start all over again is from these things. Let's know who Allah is, what are the rights of the Messenger of Allah, what are the requirements of the Sharia to be a Muslim. The leader will emerge. There is no verse of the Quran or Hadith when you see talking about leadership, except that it is Allah saying that I will give you leader. There is no way it says Muslims should actively go and start seeking leadership. It is wa'ada Allahu allazeena amanu. They used to quote this verse. Wa'ada Allahu allazeena amanu minkum wa amilu salihat. La yastakhlifannahum. He said, la yastakhlifannahum. I will make them leaders. It says, allazeena amanu wa amilu salihat. Those who believe and act righteously. Allah said, I will make them. He says, summa ja'alnakum ala shari'atin min al-amr. He says, fattabi'u, ja'alnakum ala shari'ah. He says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ لِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. He says, جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. We make them leaders. Even Bani Israel, you see there is no way they are talking about it. Allah said, we make them leaders. Allah is the one who makes a leader. أَخِي الْكَرِيمُ. In Nigeria today, you know that one. The man was being put in the grave, the other one was laughing, hey, thank God, yo. One woman was crying, hey, my husband is dead, the other one was shouting, my husband is become president, yo. Is that not sufficient that Allah is one is Malik al-Mulk? Al-Mulk al-Mantasha. Al-Mulk al-Mantasha. 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 Biyadik al-Khair. Biyadik al-Khair. Alif wa-Lam. Lil-Istigra. All good things is in the hands of Allah. So let Muslims seek leadership 1 million times. Allah is one who makes a leader. Our duty is to know our Islam, what is our Islam. All the leadership we call, Allah knows it at the time it will occur. You will see it there. Before the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell anybody that Abu Bakr should be the Khalifa after him. This is what is most authentic from the scholars of Sunnah. But at the time, didn't Abu Bakr emerge? Umar radiallahu anhu, he did not say Uthman should be the Khalifa after me. But at the time, didn't Uthman emerge? Uthman didn't say, oh, Ali should be the Khalifa after me, but at the time, didn't Ali emerge? Ali didn't say, oh, Hassan should be Ali after me, but at the time, didn't Hassan emerge? Then Hassan became the Amir, say, oh, Muawiyah, I give you the authority. After 6 months, Muawiyah became the Amir. So Allah is in charge of these affairs. They are from the affairs that is strictly in the hands of Allah. He decides who gets what, when. People used to disturb themselves with what is not basic. They leave the things that are basic. So the basic foundation, basic duty of the Muslims today is how they, individuals, we know what Islam requires of them. From the matters of belief, from the matters of worship, from their dealings with people, and all of that. Allah will give them a leader that will be like them and will rule them with justice. The last question, inshallah.
And it was under the
democratic
section that Sharia was already launched
in some states. It was not successful. It was not successful. You are still building your question on the basis that me, I don't agree. Look for another word. Maybe you remove the successful. Yeah. You have not recoined the question. If you didn't say it was a failure, me I would say it was a failure because the man who launched it told me that it was a failure. He said there were no enough scholarly background and spread of true Islam before he launched what he launched. But he had good intentions. He will be rewarded for his intentions. But the fact it goes back to what we are saying, that the foundation of anything is individuals, Muslims. Who are you as a Muslim? Who are you? Who am I? Who is she? Who is he? It is from this who, she, he, I, that Allah will bring a leader amongst us. Sharia is not launched. They don't launch Sharia. They don't launch Sharia. Somebody is shouting where they are learning, they are like, no, Akbar, he shaved his beard. Which Sharia is he launching? What about that Sharia of keeping the beard? He shouted, no, look at his beard, he shaved it. He said he's launching Sharia. Is he launching Sharia? You leave the Sharia place, you start saying, oh, I found somebody, boxer. So we just come from the place we went to launch Sharia. Is he not really launching Sharia? And this is what is most common amongst the Muslims. People want government. They want governance without having individuals who will be governing. People want good governance without good individuals. It was said that Ma'mun was challenged by someone and said, you are leaving us like this. You didn't see Umar, you didn't see Usman, you didn't see Ali. They need where you are living on just to say, you are you like the people that Umar ruled over? You want me to be like Umar, Usman, Ali? Are you like the people that Umar ruled? If you are like the people that Umar ruled, then I'll be like Umar. If you are like the people that Umar ruled, I'll be like Umar. The question is, the people that Umar ruled, were they the first that came, or Umar came first and then the people? The people that Umar ruled, from among whom Umar was taken, was it that Umar came as a Khalifa and then created the people, or the people were there, Umar only emerged from amongst them? Emerged! But the people wanted the other way around. They want Umar first, then the Umar carry whip and start beating people to be like him. It's a fundamental problem. Be Umar first. One of those new Umars will be the leader that will be Umar too. People don't want to be Umar, they want Umar to be like leadership. It does not have a counterfact. Counterfact, I always say. That is thinking the other way around. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك ابو مريم تقول لي ما دي سبانس في